It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed and Oyster Bar. Extraordinaire.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to hear draft beer.
We're going to hear from Nick tonight.
I don't know. We're going to find out here in a little while, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Hear about the new Oyster Bar?
Yeah. Well,
have they got it up and going now?
No. You know, I was over there last week, I guess, and it didn't have it.
Yeah.
But it is really awesome. I keep threatening to go over there with my bowling ball and use that bar for a bowling alley.
That'll I get them on the ball trying to do
something. Yeah, so y'all going to have to block this bowling alley off here so I can keep from bringing my bowling ball over here.
That's right.
But, hey, man, the big UJ's got a bunch of cars in.
I tell you, we've had probably a little over 40 cars in the last week show up, or cars and trucks, mostly trucks. We've got some of the 2021 Tahoes in. Still have not seen a Suburban yet, but I'm sure it's coming. We've got trucks and Colorados and, you know, all the above. Everything's park lot's starting to look a little more normal. So I'm encouraged.
Well, that puts a load on y'all, because y'all have to go through the prep deal on a new vehicle and make sure everything's all right and check it all out, don't you?
Oh yeah, they're all panicking now. The ones that were ordered and coming in that are sold, or we got to stop everything we're doing and get those ready.
Wait a minute, you got customers' cars in there too?
Yeah, they don't. The sales doesn't. That ain't their problem.
Don't worry about that. Once the car's gone,
that's our problem.
Out of their sight, then that's your problem then.
Yeah, and they're calling the people before they even hit the ground, telling them their car's there.
Oh, yeah.
You might want to call them back.
They want to close that deal, man. They want to close that deal.
Well, they want to make sure, we're going to make sure that we're delivering a quality vehicle that is tested and prepped properly. So, I'm sorry. They may have to wait just a little bit.
I hear that. Yeah.
And we're talking hours. We're not talking days.
Sure. Just for the benefit of our listening audience. I mean, what do you have to do to a new car?
Well,
to prep it or check it out after, I just thought it's come from the plant, it's brand new.
Right. Well, it's coming off an assembly line. Yes, they do their inspections, and 99.9% of the time, everything's perfect and good to go. But it's also been on a transport train and a truck, and it's been through, delivery yards and stuff. And on a rare occasion you see a scratch here or there, that we got to get taken care of before it's delivered to a customer.
Well, do y'all check everything on the vehicle? Or, do you have like a 100-point checklist or something? Or?
Yeah, we do a pretty thorough check on them. We operate all the electronics and we'll run it down the road. We put fuel in it. We, check it for all the lights functioning and all the equipment working like it's supposed to, make sure everything's there that's supposed to be there, all the accessories and that's one of the big things that we put on. If it gets ordered with black wheels and bow ties and emblems and stuff, we may have to put those on ourselves, we'll do running boards and stuff on trucks and bed mats and that.
So any special accessories that was ordered with the truck or that the dealership wants to put on that vehicle,
right,
before they put it on the line, then they might want to put some larger tires and wheels on it, put running boards on it, and a trailer hitch or whatever.
Right, and then the vehicle has to get cleaned up because it has been probably 2 weeks since it come off of the assembly line, they put their touch on it, but it's really mostly they're wrapping it with plastic and that kind of thing, and we have to get all that off, and then we'll wash and wax and do. Get the car prepped and looking.
But you do all that, but then you also now you have your COVID-19 detailing that you have to do, right?
Well, we're always disinfecting the vehicles, even if you come in for an oil change or whatever, we're disinfecting those vehicles before and after, keeping up with that and making sure that you know, we keep our customers and our employees as safe
as possible. I just caught something. Now, what you're saying is you are protecting, you're going to do it twofold. You're going to clean it when the customer brings it in. That's mm-hmm. to protect your employee.
Mm-hmm.
But then when after your employee gets through with it, then you're going to do a detail or clean up on it again.
Well, it's not really a detail. It's a disinfectant.
Disinfectant, okay.
Yeah, it's we're spraying a disinfectant on the touch points.
But it's going to get done twice. So really, if there is anything there,
right.
It should be squared away before it leaves.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, we're using a hospital-grade disinfectant on the door handles, the steering wheel, shifter, keys, switches, that kind of stuff.
Everything they touch inside the car.
That's touched inside the car.
Okay.
We don't want anything passed on to our people, and we don't want our people to pass anything on to the customers.
Right,
so,
right. Okay.
Doing our best, you can't promise anything, but that's everybody.
Man, we got to try. That's all. That's all we're doing right now with our mask and the distancing, and trying to clean up after yourself and mm-hmm. use your own little bottles of on your hands and try to keep you. One of the things that I've been thinking about, and I started to say it then, is about keeping your hands and all away from your face and eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Is your eye and the fluids in your eyes one of the most receptacle?
Yep.
Places on your body, because that's an immediate place to get viruses and bacteria to you into your bloodstream.
Yeah, it's a direct path, and it's you just got to be careful. I mean, there's no way that I can say that we're 100% on everybody washing their hands every few minutes and staying covered up or masked up or gloved all day long every day. Especially the guys out in the shop, because it's so hot out inside the facility that we don't require them to have the mask on as long as they're working in their work area, and not on top of each other, which, your work area is, 25 foot deep and, 15 foot wide. There's no reason that as long as you're the only one in that work area that you have a problem with spreading it to anybody. So, it's a tough deal, no doubt. But it is what it is, and we just gotta do our best and move on.
Well, and I think truthfully, we're going to see a lot of people carry this on forward more so than we did back in the days when we were worried about flu, and then about the only thing we were worried about is we had to get our flu shots and that kind of stuff, And if somebody had it, you might not want to get around them, but
right.
You just touch them, or when if you got around them, don't be touching them, or trying to get any of their bodily fluids on yours or whatever on yourself.
Right.
But yeah. I think some of this is what we're doing now, and some of this cleaning and masking and cleaning our own self and looking after the stuff that we're accustomed to doing for the last 4 or 5 months. It's like Philip over here; he's got his own little bottle of hand sanitizer. I've got two or three of them in my car. I've got them all scattered all over my house, and it's just mm-hmm. I think we're going to be more involved in the cleanliness and things that we're exposed to.
Right. And I on the positive side of this, I think we'll come out the other side with some better habits.
On
what to do to keep everybody safe and keep germs down, because we got an alarm set for twice a day, to everybody stops and cleans their work area, it disinfects everything in their work area.
Really? Y'all do?
Yep. And that's everybody in the place. Plus we have people walking around all day doing nothing but cleaning, but disinfecting.
There's a lot of new disinfecting and cleaning businesses that have popped up overnight too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're everywhere. Yeah, they really are. And it's a good thing. I was just looking at one company that I've done business with before that has branched out into everything, including disinfectant. For the COVID stuff. So hey, I have no problem with someone stepping out there and offering a service that's needed. Yeah. That's what this country's based on.
They're talking about 4 out of 10 businesses that are that were open prior to this are going to be out of business, especially mm-hmm. being the smaller businesses.
Right.
And that just busted me up bad because, mm-hmm. I can remember when I went in business, you know, one person going into business for themselves and
right.
worried about making it and all. And I see these people are already in business, have been there for years, mm-hmm. and now they're going to lose everything they have, you know.
Right. Right. It's happening every day. So, sounds like it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, but we'll be back after these messages.
Running low on torque, and that water pump's nearly down a quart. We caught it all in time.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Rook along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, yeah, if you can turn it all up, Philip, be great. But anyway, that's
there we go.
Yep, there you go.
You found it.
We can hear it now. So
there you go.
It's all good.
You scared we was going to say something off the air, I guess. We have been known to do that. You know, what the heck. There's got to be people out there within our listening audience that are having car problems, and mm-hmm. I'm sure they don't want to sit here and listen to me and you just shoot the breeze all night.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's I know people are having problems because we got a shop full of them right now.
Right.
You know, we've been really busy, but and one thing to come up today that you know, I always want to remind people. I understand that you're trying to save money by doing things yourself, and you know you may have gotten codes checked, and you know you had this system showed codes, so you know you went and bought those three components, figure you just cover it all and be done with it. Well, that ain't always how it works.
No.
Yeah, because had one today, guy traveling through, had a code for his crank sensor, throttle body, and accelerator pedal, and bought all three of those components, put it on there, and guess what? It didn't fix it.
Mm-mm.
And he brought it to us, wanting us to program them. He was like, well, first off, does it run? No, it don't really want to run. So, well, those aren't components that have to be programmed. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So, you probably still got a problem.
Yeah.
And we're checking. We find out actually it's got a 5-volt reference coming out of the computer, and that 5-volt reference is cut in half for some reason.
Uh-oh.
So we got to go find it. It's probably something in the wiring, but we got to go find out what's wrong with it.
Well,
but,
we have a call there yet.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But
might be Mr. Nick.
Yep. Caller, you on there? Hello.
Hello.
You with us?
Yeah.
Hey, what can we do for you?
Is Tom there?
Oh, yeah. He can't run me off, man. Go ahead. This sounds like Nick, the fabulous one from Ed's Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Oh, I didn't know what was going on. I heard some talk about some cars. I didn't know what y'all were doing.
Well, we're car showing here tonight. What's happening with Big Nick DeMario from Fabulous Ed's Seafood Shed in Bobtown proper?
Man, we're trying to get that oyster bar going in the next week and a half or so, and then Mobtown proper, that place is just going crazy. Today was Monday. We were packed.
Good. That's what it's all about.
Hospitality and haircuts for sure.
You need to start looking for that other barber or cosmetologist.
Yeah, right? When you do 10 people in a day, you need to start looking for the second chair.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's happening over at Ed's? How far are we away from getting the oyster bar?
I'd say about a week and a half.
Okay.
Just need a few more pieces of stuff, and we got kids going back to school and trying to figure out who's coming in, who's going back to school, and getting ready to go.
Well, that's true, too. I guess you've got a lot of young people over there that are college students.
Yeah, and everybody's, but they all the students, they've been on the wait to see if they were going back to school, or are they doing virtual school. So, you know, when you're making a plan, you know, every year, every season, has a plan as far as your staffing being spring, fall, summer.
Yeah.
And we have to plan accordingly so we can best serve our customers.
Yeah, well, you can't run a restaurant without people.
No, I tell you what, we had a great breakfast this weekend at Ed's. We do that 8 to 11 breakfast, and that seems to be really catching on, that southern breakfast with that tomato gravy and chicken and grits. And
big old
turned
biscuits.
Into a good one. Yeah,
big old biscuits.
Really turned into a good one.
Yeah, some friends of mine went over there, I think they went over Sunday morning and caught breakfast over there. They expected to see me there, and I said, no, not this past Sunday morning, but I said, most any other Saturday or Sunday you could find me there.
Yeah, you're good for at least one of those days.
Hey, man, you can't beat good food.
No, we do a good job, and there's breakfast. That's a big breakfast, man. It is not anything to... bat your eye.
No.
If you're an eater, it's a good one.
How much of that bologna are you selling?
We sell more.
It's probably more than we would think.
If I told you a lie, I'd be full of bologna.
Yeah.
I think we sell more sausage, bacon, and beignets. As cornmeal pancakes seem to be crushing it. A little bit of everything.
Well, I've been watching you on Facebook as well, and I see you're experimenting with some different drinks and some different specialty items at not only at Ed's in Sunset Point, but also at Squid Ink.
Yeah, Katie, who's one of our mixologists there, who's super passionate about, not only mixing the drinks, but the story of how it all comes about and the recipes. She's done a great job getting ready for the upcoming fall with some specials. She's just a pretty amazing employee. I mean, all of our employees are really amazing. It's crazy to see how the employees that we work with, how they've evolved, and just, it's a different, they have a different mindset, but they're really, really passionate about what they do. If it's the cause of the history of alcohol and how it all came about, how this drink came about, and how you tie it into, maybe a theme. They're really smart. They do a good job.
Well, the thing that's very interesting about it as well is the fact that you've given some of these young people some management skills and training, and now you've put them into some supervisory capacities. And it's just surprised me on how good they are, what a good job they're doing.
Yeah, I think they're very smart, especially from a technology standpoint. I think what we try to do is make sure that we have a process that can be duplicated. Somebody can make one drink or make one plate.
Right.
They call themselves a chef or a cook. But
right.
The key is, can you duplicate it 100 times in a day?
Right.
And it will be the same. Well, it'll be the same every time.
Right. Yeah.
That's really the trick.
And that's the trick to the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it's rare. Very seldom do you see people that go into a restaurant to get a job and they have to go to a class or go to a school before they even think about getting on the floor with somebody that walks around and watches them a whole shift or a whole day and make sure that they are following through with the things that they learned in that class. And it fascinated me to see that you guys actually have trainers there that work with your people.
Well, I think that, learned this years ago, and I think you can even relate to that. Somebody trained you
right
on your car business and,
right,
and your host, you guys knowing what you know about cars. Well, we do the same. If you commit to training and you select the right people, and it could be they don't even have any experience doing what you're doing, but their mind and how they carry themselves, and you've selected a good citizen. Now it's just up to you to go,
right,
how do I train? How do I follow up? And you can't expect what you don't inspect.
Right.
And that starts with training. So I don't think you can put a weight to how much you train. And training doesn't just stop after they're done and they're waiting tables or cooking. It's every day ongoing.
Yeah, we're confronted with that in the automotive industry, and Kevin is confronted with it daily because he's got 15, 16, 18 techs that is working for him, and they're all working on something different all the time, as well as he's trying to straighten out maybe a problem that somebody else had, and he's working with a tech to show him what needs to be done under these when you get these codes and you get these conditions. So, yeah, I mean, if you're in management and you're properly doing it, you're in a training mode 24/7.
Yeah, we're all trying to find that next superstar out there. And, you know, I think we owe it to that person that has passion and some want to,
right,
to prepare them to be able to compete. I don't care if it's selling hamburger, shrimp, or whatever it may be. It all is relevant to what we do. And it's more than just job. I mean, these people are our work families. I mean, we go through a lot of roller coasters with them and a lot of things.
Yeah. It's neat, though, to see the people really care, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. You can't even worry about being disappointed.
Right.
You just have to keep doing what you're doing, be who you are, stand for what you stand for, and go, food is awesome. Hospitality, we've never met a stranger.
Right.
You get those two things, you put them together, what do you got?
That's right.
Tom Claxton.
Whoa, wait a minute. I don't know about all that. No. But it's just neat to see the, you know, I've been in management for about years, and working people, you know, since I was 18 years old in the Marine Corps. But to see the people following through, and just like we did, even in boot camp and all in service, I hate to keep talking about this crap, but it's my life. You know, we weed out. We have classes like in boot camp. We weed out the people that we don't think is going to meet our criteria, and then we work with the ones that does, and the ones that have the desire, and then they also have a little ability. Then you impress on that, and then improve that.
I think that's the key component. What you just said is, not care if you're a waiter, a dishwasher, a manager, an owner, if you're not dancing to work every
right.
day, and I'm talking about not physically dancing, but in your mind,
right.
excited about going there and feeling like you're dancing and what you do. And you might try to do something else because you're never going to be the best you can be.
Right. But, you know,
we get the greatest job in the world, Tom. We get to play with food.
There you go, man. Hey, every now and then we get to taste it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, man, I appreciate you taking the time to give us a call, Ed, and we appreciate what you're doing with Ed's.
Always a pleasure, man, and we appreciate you, man. You are a special man, period.
Oh, look, I didn't expect all this stuff now. We just want to promote Ed's, okay? Thank you, though.
All right, brother.
See you,
have
Nick.
A great one.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors. We'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit. And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, Tom, before Nick called in, we were talking a little bit about people trying to save a little money, diagnosing their own stuff and putting parts on, you know.
Well,
and
you've got some stories, and I've got some stories, so go ahead.
Right. Well, you know, and the problem is, you know, you go to these box stores, and they check your codes, and that's a great service for a lot of people, okay? That will give them an idea maybe what to go talk to somebody about to get the car fixed. But just because it has a code does not mean that that part's bad.
Right.
You know, I actually find that more often than not, that's not the component that's failed.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's just like, you know, MAP sensor code, which is the manifold absolute pressure sensor. Okay, I see that code all the time on one that's running bad. Okay. People immediately say, well, the MAP sensor must be bad. No. You know what? It probably did its job. If it's running bad, what happens to the manifold vacuum? What we did for years to check for burnt valve or misfire or lean conditions or whatever, you plugged a vacuum gauge up to it and you watched it. That's all that computer's doing. It's looking at that vacuum gauge.
Right.
Okay. So it saw a problem with the vacuum. Well, that sensor's probably doing its job. It's telling you got a problem with that motor. Don't go throw the part on it because that's not what caused it.
Yeah.
You know, the running problem caused that code. So go look elsewhere. Yeah.
Well, in that regard, would you just automatically reprogram the computer and take all, you know, make a list of those codes and all, and wipe the codes out. And well, then go drive it and run it or whatever and see what code comes in it first.
Well, and that's one of my pet peeves is when people will go somewhere and they'll read the code and they'll clear it. And then they bring it straight to me and it's like, well, the check engine light was on. Okay. Well, I have nothing to go by because it's cleared now.
Mm-mm.
You know, so, you know, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to drive a little while and get it tacked up.
So then, that being said now, so what is going to happen to solve that problem? Are you going to have to drive the car long enough that it resets that code?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is there a normalcy of miles or hours or minutes or anything that you would need to drive to normally make that come on?
Yeah, it depends on the code. I mean, now if it's a current code and it comes right back, you know, great, we can go look for it. Okay. But if it's a intermittent code that, you know, the light comes on every third Thursday of the second month.
You're right.
You know, then, you know, sorry, you can't afford for me to drive your car that far.
But so what you're saying is once they clear those codes and you go in there and hook your diagnostic equipment to it for the benefit of our listeners, and they've cleared the codes. When you go to check it, it doesn't have any codes.
Right.
It doesn't keep a history. It doesn't say that. Does it keep a history?
There won't be a history there. And also what you've lost is you've lost the free frame and failure records of that code, where if you have a drivability problem, it takes a snapshot, like a little picture of all the data that's pertinent to that code and stores it in a computer. Well, when you clear the code, it clears that data. So I don't have any way to go back and look and see what was going on when that code set.
So, in other words, if you are going to make the decision to go by a box store and check the codes and all on it, tell them, okay, check the codes, write the codes down, and don't clear it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do not clear my codes out of there.
You know, if you're fixing it yourself or you think you got it fixed or whatever,
you can do whatever you want to do.
Do whatever you want to do.
Right.
Okay?
But if you're going to take it to somebody
else.
If you're going
to take it to somebody to get it fixed, don't clear codes.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I mean, if you want to read the codes, whatever, fine, but don't clear them. Yeah. Take it to somebody and they can look at it and see what's going on, you know.
Next thing is, do not do this scenario. Friend took their vehicle to a box store. It was running hot according to the gauge. But what would happen is it wasn't physically running hot, but yet it would show on the gauge that it was running hot, and it would cut the air condition down.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the codes run, and then they cleared the codes and gave them that paper that's got that code on it.
Right.
So then they took that to a shop, an independent shop, and said, I just had my codes checked. I need to get this fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't ask them to diagnose it. Didn't ask them to check anything else.
Right.
I need to get this fixed. How much is it going to cost?
Right.
And they wound up spending like $350. And so, yeah, we got it fixed. And you drive away to get about six blocks away from there. Same thing happened again.
Right.
Take it back. Oh, well, let's reprogram it all. And, well, it's running fine now. Okay, we got it fixed. Drive it half a mile, whatever, down the road. It starts again.
Mm-hmm.
So then they go back and say, oh, it must have been a bad part that we put in.
Right.
So then they go back in there and tear it all apart again. Now, this is ignorance on the part of the person or the job people that were doing
it
at work.
Yeah.
You know, I take exception to that.
Yeah.
You know, because I really don't want to work on somebody's car when they come in and tell me what's wrong with it.
Well.
Because if I just fix that and they don't check it myself, then if I doesn't fix it, they're going to be mad at me.
Well, you know, the first thing we do when we have someone come in with that scenario is it's written up on the repair order, customer requested.
Okay, right.
This part, and this part gets replaced. No diagnosis.
No diagnosis.
Customer understands there's no warranty on any of these components. If it fails again, then there'll be diagnosis to find out what's going on and additional repairs.
Right.
So, you know, and we do that for two reasons. One, to try and discourage that, because we see it every day, and it rarely works out in the customer's favor.
Mm-hmm.
So just like the customer that had throttle body and accelerator pedal and crank sensor, with those three components, he probably spent $400.
Ooh,
yeah. Then he spent half a day putting them on, and it didn't fix it.
Uh-oh.
But for that money, he could have paid us to diagnose it and probably fix it.
Right.
You know? But now there's going to be that on top of what he's already spent.
Now you still got to go back and fix what his problem was.
Now we still got to go find the problem and fix it. So
what the original, see what the original problem was.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yep. So we did get a text message in. Michelle is asking a question. The 99 Safari 4.3 V6 loses a quart of oil every 3,000 miles. No smoke, no leak. You want to know where the oil's going. Well, the problem is it's using that quart of oil between oil changes. Which is perfectly normal. An acceptable oil usage is one quart every 2,000 miles. Pretty much every manufacturer's kind of gone by that standard. So that being said, you know, a 99.43 holds 5 quarts of oil. If you went and changed your oil every 3,000 and it's a quart down, no big deal.
Right.
Nothing's hurt. Nothing. Everything's fine. You know, no big deal. Now, you take some of these cars that they want you to go 10, 15, you know, 1,000 miles between oil changes, and you're going to use a quart every 2,000 miles.
Woo! You're in trouble.
How many quarts of oil is that between oil changes?
Right. You're in trouble, man. You know? Yeah.
And it's perfectly acceptable. They're not going to go into that motor, even if it's a brand new car, and look for a problem if it's outside of that one quart every 2,000 mile window.
So even if they've got a 10 or 15,000 miles, normally their reasoning is that it's going to burn a quart of oil every 2,000 miles.
Well,
anyway, under some conditions.
Well, under you know, okay. Years ago, we sealed these motors up as tight as we could possibly get them to try and keep them from using any oil. Okay, what we did is we created wear in the cylinders, we created wear in the valve guides. Everything was wearing out in a short period of time.
It wasn't properly lubricated.
You have pistons going up and down, you got valves going up and down.
Right.
You got to lubricate those things or you're going to wear them out.
Right.
Okay. I can't remember the last time we had to do anything with a valve guide, you know, on one of the our motors. The cylinder walls, that we don't have problems with them, you know.
Well, it goes back to lubrication, I would think.
Right. It's all going back to lubrication. It's all going back to the fact that they're letting a little bit of that oil go by, and they're also reducing the friction, because we did it for years on race motors. One of the biggest robbers of horsepower is the drag of the rings on the cylinder walls. So they're loosening up that pressure on those rings to where they're not digging into the cylinder walls as much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're going to use a little more oil, but it's going to make more power.
Right.
You know, and it's going to get better fuel economy.
Right.
Yeah.
But you'll get burn a little more oil.
But it uses, you know, a little bit of oil. You know, and typically if you change your oil like you're supposed to, never notice a problem.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
But, you know, everybody that always said, oh, you know, my 1970 model Chevrolet never burned any oil. It was like, well, first off, you probably change oil every 3,000 miles. Secondly, yeah, it did.
Yeah, right. Know?
And thirdly, you know, it also got about 10 miles a gallon. You know, we're doing a whole lot of different things with the motors. The motors are lasting longer. They get better fuel economy, more power. It's a whole different world. You know, some of these, I know BMWs, they're V8 turboed motors.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon for them to go through 5 quarts of oil in that 15,000 mile period.
Say what?
Yeah, not unusual.
Is the turbo causing the pressure of the turbo causing that?
No, mostly on those it's a valve seal problem, and it's the configuration of the motor and the heat that's generated. A lot of it's from the turbo, from the heat, but they're actually having problems with the valves gumming up and that kind of thing.
Hmm.
And because they've actually reversed the flow of that motor. The exhaust is in the center, and the intake's on the outside of the motor where the exhaust manifolds usually are. You know, so they've reversed the flow of the motor you know, on that way. Excuse me. And it's just where everything is creating issues with that. So they've had to do a bunch to clean that all that out and keep them up and going. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, you learn something new every day, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I like about the business anyway.
Well, there's always something new, that's for sure. You know,
it's never boring.
No, and I had to call technical assistance about a 2021 Tahoe the other day, and you know the advisor there was just really excited to tell me about the new communication system on the vehicle and how it doesn't work like the old ones and all this kind of stuff. Is like, you know, look, that's not what I'm calling for. I just you know, I just need a little information here and let me move on. So you know, anyway, we're gonna let you hear from our sponsors and we'll be back.
Life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Speaking of calls, looks like we got a caller online. And caller, you with us? Hello?
Yes, sir. Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir.
Listen, I was just calling because Tom Claxton is supposed to be out on the deck of the Alabama on Wednesday. That was what I was calling about.
I'm supposed to be, but it looks like that might not work.
Because of the rain or
no.
COVID one, stuff? One, or?
Well, because of COVID-19.
Yeah.
One of our special guests has got that, and we just didn't want to get everybody involved with that. Who's this?
My name Ed Barber. I live over sort of in Sims, basically
downtown Sims, Alabama.
Guys, all the time on your other shows, I listen to this station all the time.
Well, that's
anyway,
good, man.
So,
well, at least we got one listener.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I was really shocked, and I thought, well, you're going to the end of commercial and coming out of it, and it sounds like I'm fixing to be on the air whether I know it or like it or not.
Whether
right.
You know it or like it or not, huh? Right. Well, appreciate you calling and appreciate you thinking about it, buddy. But what we're probably going to have to do is do that show Wednesday week on the back of on the fantail of the battleship. We've got to try to work that out tomorrow with General Cobb over there and see how that works out. But we'll make it happen.
But yeah, he's gone. But yeah, that's and talking about the battleship, you know, there's something that I saw back, I guess, when all this COVID stuff started, where they were doing battle simulations from the battleship down
mm-hmm,
there,
mm-hmm.
And had some of the Russian fighter, you know, planes that people would fly over, and they shoot, you know, simulate shooting at them.
Oh yeah, they were firing rounds, but thank God they were blanks.
That's right. You know. Yeah. But that was some neat stuff. I mean,
it is unbelievable when they have one of those simulation firings over there, and the, mm-hmm. the airplanes start to attack the ship, and all of those guys getting the big guns out.
Yeah.
Naturally, they don't swing those big ones around. It would shoot a Volkswagen out of you.
Right.
But the other ones, you know, it's got the 50s and 150s and what have
right.
you. They've got some simulation ammo that they can use, just like we do with the honor guard with funerals and all. You know, we fire blanks there.
Well, I noticed they were talking about it, and it was they retrofitted some of the guns with propane, where they actually having like a little flash come out of the,
the
guns.
Oh yeah, oh that's cool, man.
It's pretty neat.
It's unbelievable what they've done with all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what was unique? That all this time that they were down, that whole crew worked.
Yeah.
They didn't lay off anybody over there, even though they weren't able to take people in.
Right.
Their whole crew started working. They started painting and cleaning and chipping paint. And,
right.
They took everything physically in the big building over there. And
where they have all the displays and all the
aircraft pavilions.
All that, yeah, they took everything out of there, mm-hmm. cleaned everything, washed the planes, washed everything that could be washed and soaked down.
Right.
And cleaned all that, scrubbed all the inside of the place down and all, mm-hmm. and then put it back in there and put it in a little bit different order. So I think they did it according to the ages of the wars and ages of the
right.
problems that we had that they have there on display. And I thought it was neat, man. They've just done an unbelievable job.
So what you're telling me is that if you've been over there in the last couple of years,
oh, go back.
You know, it's okay to go back because it's going to be a
yeah,
different display.
Yeah, they've got
display.
New stuff. They've yeah. got a new stuff and they've got it rearranged. They're getting in new products and pieces all the time.
Yeah.
And they've got an old gunny sergeant, old Marine Corps gunny sergeant over there that's running around there building and painting and fixing everything and all. So,
yeah. yeah.
You know, he's got a good detail going there. You know? I call him gunny and he perks up, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been through there myself a few times, and it's always interesting to go look and walk, you know, look around, see what they got.
It's neat for us to go over there, and then and that general keeps warning me. She says, "Now, Marine, you know that I've got a brig on board my battleship."
Right.
I said, "Yes, ma'am, I certainly do. I will shut up." She said, "You know, the Marines you usually ran the brig." Mm-hmm. But said, "We're going to put you in the bridge."
Right, right. Yeah.
So that's what I was afraid of.
You're going to be on the wrong side of the door.
My luck, the key wouldn't work.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Get out.
Exactly.
Have to get a acetylene rig, you know, or a plasma rig or something to cut your way out.
Running mm-hmm. to the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and even going through there and my mechanical background, you know, one of the interesting things is when you go on there and you look around, you look there. Machine shop on the battleship.
Oh yeah,
they built everything that they had needed.
And if they didn't have it, they built it. You know, and they had it. A lot of our guys learned their trades mm-hmm. in those branches of service and all. You know, and then when they came home, you know, they were ready to go into a machine shop or fabrication mm-hmm. and things like that. You know?
Yeah, yeah, they teach some real skills, no doubt.
It's you awesome. Know, it's
yeah, but you know, it's. It's always a good thing to go into, but you know we've been talking about cars tonight. We do have a lot more inventory at UJ. I want to invite everybody to come out and look around, see what we've got. You know we're getting a lot of the new Tahoes, and we've got quite a few new trucks in. Suburban should be right around the corner. We've got the new Trailblazer, which is a smaller SUV, a little smaller than Equinox. We've got some of the Blazers have come in. Of course, Traverse, I'm driving one right now, as a matter of fact. Very nice vehicle. You know, we've got tracks there. The cars are, yeah, they're kind of slowing down on some of our cars. Yeah.
So now you're getting pickup trucks too, though.
Yeah, yeah, we're and getting SUVs. quite a few trucks and SUVs. That's really what they've been pushing to get.
What's the difference in a regular pickup truck in a Colorado?
Well, the Colorado's just a smaller. It's the midsize pickup. It's
not the same size as your other trucks.
No, it's smaller. It's you know, if you look at it, you know, I've got my little 68 C10, and if you get to looking at it, it's closer to that size.
Mm-hmm.
And the new trucks are like, they're monster trucks compared
to
that old truck.
Yeah, they're like limousine so, trucks.
You know, they're it's you don't realize how large the vehicles have gotten until you park you know a classic car next to
right
next
oh,
to
yeah.
a, you know and like my 55 Chevrolet
you can just about put it up the back of one of the big pickup trucks.
Yeah, I mean you're thinking, you know, it's a big old car and we used to drive these big old tanks and everything. Yeah. You park it out there, that thing ain't all that big.
No.
You know,
a little bit thing.
Not compared to what we have nowadays, for sure. But
well, if you don't find the big car mm-hmm. that you like to have, like rear wheel drive,
mm-hmm.
and with the right wheelbase and the right width, wheelbase width
mm-hmm.
between the tires and all, so that you can get that good road ride.
Right.
Then don't look at a car. Look at you one of those nice big pickup trucks.
Well, and that's where a lot of people have gone to. You know, the trucks are so nice now, mm-hmm. you know, that
they've got every luxury that a car has.
It's got everything. It's got yeah. You can get everything on a truck that you can get on any car. So it's you know, including the trim levels and that inside.
Are the screens bigger now? They don't look like a little cell phone. They look
well,
more like a.
And yeah, they're definitely bigger. the new Tahoe, that's one of the features it has, is it has a huge entertainment screen on the dash. It's larger than my little tablet here, mm-hmm. Which is probably 10 by
Can you pick up TV 10 on
by
that
6.
Day?
No, and they won't let you watch it like that. Now, if you're watching a video on the DVD system in it, if you're parked, you can watch it in the front. But if you're going down the road, they won't let you watch it.
But it'll go on the back of the...
Yeah, it'll go on the back.
Screens displays. On the back of the seats?
Yeah, from the headliner.
Okay.
From the headliner. They flipped out from the headliner then. But, darn it, I want to see it up front because I like getting bored of one thing over my mind. I got to be thinking about two or three things at one time. You know?
Well, we figured out that people can't do two things at once.
Oh, so. is that a problem?
Especially drive and watch
TV.
Oh,
I didn't know that. Yeah. No, yeah. You mean I got a problem after all these years?
Yeah,
5 million miles.
They do enough of that already, so that we don't need to encourage any of that kind of stuff. But
I'll just get it on my phone and put up my little bracket there on the dash, and I can watch watch TV on the phone.
Yeah,
while I'm
there you go.
The road. There's ways around all that.
Yep. I see it all the time. But I want to thank everybody for listening to Car Doctor Show, and we'll be back next week.
And to all of our vets and first responders out there, well, thank you. Thank you all, and a big hoo-dah.
Got a Lincoln motor, really souped up, my late body makes it look real tough. Got 8 cylinders, use them all, got overdrive, never stalls. A 4-barrel car, but dual exhaust with 4 11 gears.